Good morning again from me, Pastor Sam. Thank you guys for joining us, some of you here in person and all of you who are online in this country and other countries, in this state and other state. So glad you're here. We're going to start out by doing our shout. What do? Love God and love others. But what do we say? I love God and I love you. And I am praying every day that that is true in your life, especially during this Thanksgiving time where we can just love people and turn our hearts and turn our hearts towards God as well. In the midst of COVID and a lot of other difficulties this year, it may be hard for us to be thankful. Like honestly, 2020 is generally a pretty sucky year for everybody. We'll be honest, I don't know anyone who can't wait for 2020 to end, right? We're like, come on Christmas, because then 2020 is almost over. Because things like COVID and Kobe and George Floyd, there were murder hornets and fires and riots and Biden versus Trump. There's been lockdowns and online school, all sorts of different troubles. The Clippers lost in the playoffs. Like all sorts of, no, they're not equally heartbreaking, but all sorts of difficulties this year where we can't wait for 2020 to end. And I don't know about you, but it can be pretty easy for me to focus on and notice all of the negative things in life. That somehow is where my eye is always drawn. Like I turn on the news, and even if there's a good article, I don't notice it. I notice all the bad articles. And I can easily fall into this habit of just looking at the negative. It's pretty easy to get burned out over how bad everything is. To even get comfortable having a negative view of life. And this is the one that's scary. That I find myself starting to get comfortable just assuming the news is going to be bad. Assuming that things aren't going to go well in my life, or assuming negative things about people or life or just everything in general, and being comfortable in that negativity. As a believer, it's critical that we don't get caught in this type of thinking. The Apostle Paul, he reminded a group of believers who were facing tremendous government persecution. They were getting thrown in jail. They were even getting executed. And he reminded them not to focus on the negative. Here's what he says to them. This is a group of believers in the church at Philippi. In Philippians 4, he says, "Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever's true, whatever's noble, what's right, pure, lovely, whatever's admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things." It's not that we don't notice the negative. It's not that we put on blinders somehow, or we bury our heads in the sand, or put on those earmuffs like, I'm not listening. It's not that I don't know that negative is out there, and it's not that I'm ignoring the negative. Rather, I'm choosing to focus my mental energies on God things, directing our hearts to see and seek the better. That's what the Bible is calling to us. In Colossians, he writes it this way, "Since then, you have been raised with Christ. Set your hearts on things above, where Christ is, where he's seated at the right hand of God. That's where your focus should be." We must remember that this life right here, this world here, this is not our kingdom. Ours is a heavenly kingdom. And we ought to, as we're living here, we have to have the idea that we are foreigners and exiles in this world. That's what Apostle Peter tells us in 1 Peter 2:11. That we are foreigners and exiles, or aliens and strangers, depends on which version you're using. So that our attention isn't always focused on this world, rather we have a otherworldly attention, where our eyes are no longer down, but our eyes are up, that we're seeing the things of God and seeking the things of God, not getting trapped in the negativity that's around us. So with this in mind, I think this is a perfect Sunday. It's a perfect week, this Thanksgiving week. You see, there's a pause between sermon series where we just say, you know what, we're going to have a Thanksgiving Sunday where we just focus on Thanksgiving. A pause in our life happens this week where maybe you'll get a day off of work, a moment where we can just stop and focus on the Lord and return to a place of thankfulness. And we get that opportunity this week. And so I'm excited about what God is going to do beginning right now today in this Thanksgiving week for you and all through the rest of this week. So this Sunday, we're going to spend some time intentionally here in service on this Thanksgiving Sunday to focus our attention on those two parts of that word, thanks and giving. So thanks. That's the two motions of our sermon today are just going to be in thanks and giving. So the first is thanks. Thanks is an acknowledgement of having received something good. So we're going to try to right now stop the thousand other thoughts that are going on. I know that especially, you know, it's hard to focus when you're at home, and those of you that are joining us online. But I want you to just pause on the thousand other thoughts. And if you're here and there's stuff going around, I just want you to pause those thoughts and focus on thanks. Thanks for those who have blessed our lives. And the first thanks has to go to God. Psalm 118, 1 says, "Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever." Like, this is an umbrella statement here, resetting our eyes and our hearts, reminding us to have a heart of gratitude toward the loving, good God. And so I've prepared a top 10 list for you guys, a top 10 reasons to give thanks to God list. And this reason, I'm going to go real fast through it, and then after we go through this top 10 list, we're going to have a pause, and then we're going to react to it. Okay, so here it goes. Thankful reasons, top 10 reasons why we can be thankful for God. Number one is his unfailing love. Psalm 107 and numerous other verses in the Bible tells us that no matter what happens to us, God loves us, flaws and all. That he has unfailing, which means it does not fail, love for each one of us. Number two thing we can be thankful for God is his grace given to you in Christ Jesus. That's from 1 Corinthians 1:4. His grace means his unmerited favor towards you, not just for salvation, but for everyday living. That God cares about you and he loves you and he's interested in you. We're gonna go through a series starting next week about grace, where we cover 3 weeks talking about all about this idea of grace of God to us. The third thing we can see is that we have what God has given us. He has given us victory through Jesus Christ our Lord. In 1 Corinthians 15:57, over this world, over temptation, over doubt and despair, the Bible says that we have victory over these things. God has given us, number four, every good and perfect gift. The Apostle James says, like, look, every good and perfect gift comes from above, from the Father of heavenly lights. And so that's like sort of this catch-all. Is it good? Is it perfect? Is it a gift? Then it's from God. We can be thankful for what God has done. Number five, that he has answered me, the Bible said, and that he is my salvation. And Psalm 118:21 says this, that he saved me from myself. He saved me from my own sin, and he saved me from damnation. The sixth thing we see is that he has redeemed us. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Romans 5:8 says that he bought my soul with his life. I mean, that's love. That's something to be thankful for. Number seven, that he has qualified us to share in the inheritance of his holy people in the kingdom of light. That's Colossians 1:12. That we have a hope, a future after this life. That we aren't an accident floating in a meaningless universe. Instead, we have meaning, we have purpose, and we have a home. We can be thankful for who God is. Our number eight, that God is perfect. Matthew 5:48. And I love that God is perfect. I love that God doesn't have any flaws. He's without sin. I love that God is not stuck in this mess. That he isn't like one of us, all fallen and broken and deceptive and with all these kind of flaws. God is not that way. He is perfect. God is good. His love endures forever. 1 Chronicles 16:34, numerous psalms. In the midst of all the things that are not good in our world that we notice all the time, it's great having a God who is good and who never fails. And number 10, thankful for who God is, that he is faithful and just. And 1 John 1:9 says this, he is faithful, he is always with you, he will never abandon you. And he is just, he always makes the right decision. And he always will do what's best for each of us. And so what we're going to do right now is take a prayer break in the middle of service. I know I don't normally do this, I like flow kind of, but this is part of the flow today. We're going to take a prayer break for just 2 minutes. And I want to ask you to take 2 minutes to tell God what you're thankful for in your own words, for who he is, for what he's done. And I want to plead with you to just stay God-focused right now. There's going to be a video that plays that maybe will help us focus just to keep other distractions away. But for 2 minutes, would you just join me in thanking God for who he is and what he's done? We're going to do that right in the middle of service right now. Let's go ahead and play that. Sermon, we just want to thank God for who he is. But there's other people that we want to thank as well. So the next category of thanks goes out to people that are in our lives. Like, we've been blessed, we've been surrounded by amazing people. I don't know about you. Well, I do know about you because I know some of the people you know. You are surrounded by some amazing people that love us, that care for us, that guide us, that are there for us. Family, friends, co-workers, teachers, church members, like just a bunch of really awesome folks. And so in life, we got to pause and we got to sometimes be thankful for the people that are in our lives. I asked three of our church members to just write a short few sentences about some specific groups and then turn them into me. And I'm going to read those short letters for you right now. So for the first person I asked was Syl Joe, if she would write about her coworkers. And this works because she's also a teacher, so it's teachers and coworkers. So Syl, here's what Syl writes in terms of thankfulness for coworkers in our lives. Teaching is not a job that can be done alone. Teachers need colleagues who share the same passion for teaching students. School then is not just a place of work, but it becomes one big extended family that learns from and supports each other. This is how my community of colleagues are currently, even in the midst of distance learning. Collaboration and friendship are vital for a successful teaching team, and I thank God daily for blessing me with such a caring group of coworkers who not only encourage me, but challenge me to become better than yesterday. That's Syl Joe. I asked one of our younger members, Samantha Cho, I asked her to write a couple of words about her friends and why she's thankful for them. She says, I'm so thankful for all of the close friends God's blessed me in my life. Sometimes I wonder how we became friends. But I trust in his plan, and I'm grateful for their company. They are a part of my support system and are some of my biggest motivators. They also teach me new things every day, and they help me grow to be a better person. I appreciate them so much, and I'm so lucky to experience such fun memories together. I love them all dearly. Smiley face emoji. And then the last one I asked Christine Lee to write about family. And here's what she writes. I feel blessed to have been raised by hilarious and giving parents who gave me the most incredible siblings to grow old with. I feel blessed that my siblings gave me a brother-in-law and sister-in-law that I love deeply. And I feel blessed that we all raise our children, the cousins, together. I'm thankful for the most generous in-laws, and I'm thankful that they raised such a genuine and loving person, Jason. Jason and my children bring me a unique sense of joy and laughter that I'm so thankful for. I truly feel that Jason, Marissa, and Seth are my gifts from God, and I'm so thankful to him for them. Oh man, that's like so sweet, right? Be careful, you could get a tear or something right there. So again, it's going to be time right now. I want you to participate and actively join in the sermon again. So we're going to pause the service, but this time for another 2 minutes, but this time we're not going to pray. I mean, it's not bad to pray, but that's not what we're doing right now. This time, what we're going to do is while this next video plays, I want you to take out your phones, and I want you to actually use them in church. I want you to text three people thank you. Now, it doesn't have to be complicated. It could just be, I'm thankful for you. It could be, I'm thankful that you're amazing, I'm thankful that I love you, or just thanks for being you, whatever you want to do. So grab out your phone right now, and for the next 2 minutes, I want you to text at least three people. You can go on a text fury and get as many as you want, that's fine, but we're just going to have 2 minutes in service where we, on purpose, say, let's bless the world together. Coming from this place of Jericho Road, all these texts are going to go out. So if you can imagine this, like, picture in your mind, that from our place right now, as part of our worship to God, we're going to say to these people, thank you for being amazing. And this is going to scatter all throughout the country. Isn't that pretty cool? Like, just in this minute, there's going to be like this, this like blessing of like just strands fired all over the world. And so we're going to do that. Ready? So hit that video. Let's thank some people right now.
THANKYOU. Thank you. Thank you.
Text
THANKYOU. Thank you. Thank you. THANKYOU.
Text somebody.
THANKYOU. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Text a thank you to a friend.
Thank you for the gift of friends who know everywhere I've been and love me back home again. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
And if time were to stop, I can never tell it all. Words are few, this will have to do. I just want to thank you. I just want to thank you. I just want to thank you. Oh, I'm so grateful. Sing it again. Sing it loud. I just want to thank you. I just want to thank you. Yes, I do. I just want to thank you. I am so grateful. This is what he's done. I just want to thank you.
Right, your 2 minutes are up. I know if you're old, you're like, dude, my texting is so slow. Your kid's got 42 texts out and you got none. How about the lights, guys? I'd love to have some. Thanks. Splash you in the back. And make sure the volume's up on those videos. Come on, in-house. It's like silent back here. Not to call out the soundboard back there, but soundboard guy and light guy. This is their first time absolutely alone. By the way, our sound team right now, we did their average. Their average age in the sound, video, digital, computer work is 16.4. So that's the average age of the persons that are running our entire church is 16-year-old. So Man, God is amazing, right? Now, when Drew, Yuli, and James does it, the average age is 75 or so. So it's a pretty big difference which team is working back there by age, but it's always incredible quality. Thank you guys for doing such a really good job and stepping in. Because we figured, like, if anyone has to die, it might as well be the young people from the coronavirus, so we invited them in. Just kidding. We don't want, they're going to recover. The other trio, I don't know if they're going to recover. They're on that older scale, so we don't want them coming in right now. But anyway, like, how cool is that? Like, do you know, like, texts were being sent all over this planet? Oh, that's so cool, and we got to be a part of that blessing. So that's the first part of Thanksgiving. It's just thanks part. And I want you to have that in your heart all week. Like, maybe you give a special thanks to the drive-thru person. If you go to the same drive-thru, the same Chick-fil-A. I got a Chick-fil-A that I go to all the time. And there's a kid there I see all the time. I know him by name. He knows me by name. And it's so cool. And so, like, give a special thanks to even just people that are random people that are in your life. And have that heart all week long to just be thankful to God and thankful to people. And start to notice those things. And have that heart and that attitude of thankfulness. And Thanksgiving has a second part. It has the giving part. So that's our second part today. And I know you might be thinking, well, I just gave my thanks to three people. Isn't that enough, Pastor Sam? And I'm going to say no. I'm going to have a faith exercise for you that I'm going to ask you to do. Now, you can refuse to do it. Say, no, God, I won't listen to my pastor. I refuse to do these things. But then good luck with the lightning that happens after that. Now, I think that you're not going to refuse. So then I'm going to assume that you're all accepting of this challenge, of this encouragement to step out in faith exercise that I have for you in regards to giving as a response to our thankfulness. During an especially difficult time, it's important that we don't lose sight of the reality that we are called to be the light of the world. A city on a hill ought not to be hidden or cannot be hidden. And so even in the light of difficult things that are going on in our lives, we have got to be reminded that we are called to be the light of the world. So as we're stirred to be thankful, we also want to respond by giving back to other people, by giving to others, since we're so full of gratitude. And so I'm going to ask you to respond by committing to give something. Now I've arranged it by age group, the ask that I'm going to give right now. So I'm going to ask you to do something, church, and it's by age group. So if you're in our kid venture or under, if you're one of our kids and you're online or you're a parent of a kid and you want to do this, here's our challenge for our kids this week. What I want you to do, kids, is I want you to take one of your toys that you like and I want you to donate it to the Salvation Army. Donate it to a kid who doesn't have any other toys. Donate it to someone who has less than you. And then, so parents, if you want to get a big bag and donate all sorts of toys that your kids have that don't play for, that's really cool too. You could declutter and give back, which is like a win-win. But in the midst of that, you could do that. That's a great thing to do. That my wife and I did that all the time as the kids were getting older. We'd have them go through and give these toys to the kids, and that's great. But I want, even in the middle of that, if that's what you choose to do, kids, if you'll just pick one of those toys that you're going to give, and I want you to give it with your heart, and I want you to give it with prayer. Now, you're not praying for the toy. The toy doesn't need any prayer because it's not a person. But I want you to pray for the person who will receive or get that toy. I want you to just spend a few minutes. You can pray out loud with your parents, and your parents can help you pray that prayer, where you say, God, I'm going to give this toy to someone. I don't know who it goes to, but I want to pray that they will be encouraged, that they will be blessed, that they will be built up as they receive this toy that I've loved, help them to love it too, and to find goodness in it. And so, kids, if you would do that, that's my challenge for you this week. That's your giving opportunity, if you can pick one of your toys to give away to this to someone else who doesn't have any. The next area of age-appropriate giving is I want to tell our youth students. So that's our junior high, all the way through high through 12th grade. What you're going to donate this week is you're going to donate one handwritten note to someone who's not in your family. I know they have addresses at homes. It's going to be like nearly impossible to find those things, right? You might have to mail it. You might have to have someone deliver it for you. But my give for you is that you would, and the reason it's sort of on purpose, because I know that we're caught in the digital world a lot, and some people would be really encouraged by just having a physical note from you. If you could give that this week, that is your commitment to say, I'm going to commit to giving one handwritten letter to someone not in my family for our youth group. And for college students, money is tight for you. And so I'm going to ask you to give your money. If you're in college or just barely out of college, young adult, not married person, I want to ask you to give $20 of your own money to any online cause that you think is worthwhile. So what cause do you believe in? What cause do you think is making a difference in this world? What cause around you will help lift someone else up? Is there a social justice cause that you can donate to? Is there a GoFundMe, someone who just needs to have a blessing from you? Whatever cause you choose, I want to encourage you, I want to challenge you, and here's your commitment this week, to give $20 of your own money to that cause. And as you give online digitally to that, I want you to spend 10 whole minutes praying for that person or organization that you're giving to. 10 uninterrupted minutes. So as you're about to click through that, as you're about to donate the money, $20 and 10 minutes. And I'm going to ask that you don't cheat the time and you don't cheat the amount. $20 your money and $10 of specific focused prayer just for that group. And for our adults, I want you to prayerfully ask God to reveal a need and then to give to that need. Like he might have already been telling you over the last few weeks. It may be that he asked you to give your time. It may be that he asked you to give your money. I don't know. But God is waiting for you to ask and then to act. And so adults, if you're out of that young adult category, above 25, would you just pray and ask God, where can I give of either my time or my money this week? What would you have me give, God? And as he reveals that to you, actually follow through and do it. But training our hearts to be thankful, it does so many good things. It gives credit where credit is due. It keeps us from bitterness and arrogance and discouragement. Giving thanks and giving back, it protects us from letting our lives be defined by what we don't have, because we become thankful for things that we do have. It keeps us humble and it reminds us of our need for God. Bam. All right there. So the last thing I'd like to do today together is just to be refreshed with the Word of God on this Thanksgiving Sunday, on this particular topic. So I'm going to read three different short Bible passages. And during this time, I want you to do some things with me. Would you first just close your eyes? And the reason we're going to do this is just to be able to focus on God. Would you close your eyes and would you open your hands up like this as a gesture towards God that you are open to him? Would you take two slow, deep breaths in and out? And then would you receive God's word? Colossians 2 says, "So then, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live your lives in him, rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness." 1 Thessalonians 5 says, "Rejoice always. Pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus." And in Psalm 69:30, it says, "I will praise God's name, and I will praise it in song, and I will glorify him with thanksgiving." And would you join me and let's do that right now, worshiping God and thanking him. Amen. Would you thank him together as we go into this time of song?